Things in this world can make us numb. How many of you know and have experienced some things in this world that have made you numb? They can harden our hearts, and before we know it, our heart is becoming a fortress, and people are being pushed out to prevent the chance of pain. A few of you raised your hands on things in this world causing you to become numb, and I've had several things in my life that have caused this, and I've talked with several people who have had different things in their life that have caused this. And so basically what happens is we're going through life as a child and we're receiving things and we're growing and we're enjoying life itself. We're being kids. We're playing. And before we know it, something comes along and it doesn't feel so good. Maybe it was someone in your life that came along and caused a pain in your heart. Maybe it was someone that asked for you to do something. Maybe it was a chore that became your responsibility and it took some of the fun out of life. I wasn't quite sure which direction the Lord was going to be leading me today, but let's go in this direction. I know someone who had this less traumatic experience. In his younger years, he grew up in a house where the mother had grown up in her house, being one of many who did all the chores in the house, and so called herself the Cinderella when she was growing up. By the time she had kids, she decided she didn't want to do the chores in the house anymore, so she taught her kids how to do the chores so that they could do the chores and she wouldn't have to. And so this boy at the time realized that this was the case and decided that he resented the chores because they were being placed on him, something that his mother didn't like when she was a child. And so he decided that he resented all responsibility and all work. And so he started hardening his heart towards doing anything. And he started setting up walls and trying to figure out, how am I going to go through life and not give in to this temptation of following everybody else in the world? And before I know it, I'm overwhelmed with responsibilities. And so he closed down. And he decided he wasn't going to do anything that the rest of the world was going to do. He was going to stay in his own little bubble. And though he's older than I am now, he still has never worked. He doesn't have a whole lot of things to be happy about in life or feel successful about. But he's lived up to his childhood dream of, I'm not doing anything. So now let's relate that to a little bit of what you and I might be thinking right now about what we might have hardened our heart to. So if my thing was somebody coming along and causing me pain, and I didn't like it, I started building a wall so that wouldn't happen in my life anymore. I'm not letting that kind of pain into my life anymore. I'm going to harden myself to that, and when I see any sign of it coming, my walls are going to be built. I'm going to hunker down behind my walls, and I'm not going to let it near me. And then over time, I start finding other things that might lead to some kind of pain, and I start building up to that too. I'm not letting that hurt me. And then this over here, this might cause me pain, so I'm going to build up my wall to that. I'm not letting that in. It might hurt me. And oh, this over here got by me, and it caused me pain, so I got to build a wall here. But now I see that I have a spot open over here where I might get hurt, so I'm going to build my wall up here, and then my wall up here. And before I know it, I'm completely surrounded by walls, and nobody can get by. And I experienced this. And I didn't even realize in my life that I had built so many walls and I had hardened my heart so much, not letting anybody in. Until my wife said to me one day, your heart is so stone cold, so hard, that not even your kids can get in. Not even I can get in. For fear of being hurt, I had pushed out people who were close to me. For fear that they might hurt me, I had hardened my heart so that they could not get in and cause me pain. Maybe you have experienced pain in your life. Maybe it was severe pain. Maybe it was a horrible experience and you started building a wall. As we go through this message today, I ask you to search your heart. Have you started pushing people away that you once cared for because you're afraid that they might hurt you? Our scripture today is, actually there's three scriptures today, they're all in Matthew. But we're going to start in Matthew 13, 13 through 17. Matthew 13, 13 through 17. 13 says, "This is the reason I speak to the crowds in parables. Because while having the capability of seeing, they do not see. And while having the opportunity of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand and grasp spiritual things. They are closed-minded to the glorious moves of God's hand and oblivious to His omnipresence." In case you don't know what that means, it means He is everywhere at all times. And the fact that He's omnipotent, which means He's all-powerful, He can do anything, nothing is impossible for Him. They are oblivious to the nature of the true God. Jesus spoke in parables and stories because the people were so far from understanding God that the best hope was to give them a story that they could relate to, that they could carry away with them, a story that they could pass along. I've shared at times that one of my favorite parts of sharing stories with a sermon is that later on, people are repeating those stories back to me and what they meant to them. But when I do a sermon that's all scripture, which is similar to what today's going to be, I hear very few people come back and repeat whatever that scripture was to me. It seems like sometimes in our life, it's easier to receive a story and to carry away a story than it is to carry away information and knowledge. In them, in these people, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You will hear and keep on hearing, but never understand. You will look and keep on looking, but never comprehend. For this nation's hearts have grown hard." What's the issue? Hardened hearts. What's the issue around the world today? Hearts that are hardened because of previous hurts. Many of these people are now teaching others to harden their hearts in advance to protect against the possibility of being hurt. Hardened hearts that close out everything that could potentially be rejected or ridiculed by another. I've shared with you that I was a very quiet person growing up, and that there was my sophomore year where I went all year long without saying a word. And because I was so quiet, nobody, not even my parents, noticed. But around Christmas time, I realized that I hadn't said a word in a long time and nobody was noticing, so I wanted to see how long I could go without saying a word. And so I dragged it out for the rest of the school year, shaking my head, nodding, whatever, so that I didn't have to speak. In that, I realized that my quietness, my withdrawing from people, was pretty great. Not great as in splendor, but great as in large. And the part that I just said, hardened hearts that close out everything that could potentially be rejected or ridiculed by another, part of my quietness, part of my unwillingness to share or to speak with another person was, what if they didn't agree with what I said? What if they thought something else? What if they laughed at me for the question I had? And so I would rather, as a child, sit back and watch everybody else than to take the chance on being ridiculed. Hearts that are sealed off and won't open up to receive things that they could, that they don't quite understand because they're afraid that they might get hurt. Hardened hearts cannot receive Christ. because they have built barricades specifically to prevent anyone from getting into that tender space. Hardened hearts hold back the work of the Holy Spirit because a hardened heart feels that if the Holy Spirit softens my heart, I will be vulnerable to the hurts like this again. So I must resist this unwelcome intrusion on my free will and protect my heart. What's the issue that holds people from seeing and hearing the real works of God? Hardened hearts that are afraid to let even God in. The verse continues, with their ears they hardly hear, and they have tightly closed their eyes. God's word instructs us that we need to open our hearts to receive things that we don't fully understand. We need to place our trust in Him and follow Him even when we can't see how it's going to work out. God's word is not a business pitch to become a partner in the kingdom of heaven where we negotiate the parts we like, the parts we don't, the things we understand, and ask for more documentation on the things we don't before we'll buy in to this new life. It's a love letter to a child to follow the leading of your Heavenly Father even when you don't have all the stats and statistics. Because He says, I love you and I have your best interest at heart. This may hurt some here and there, but in the long run, this journey is bringing you to a place that you can't even imagine right now. Trust me, and I promise when you cross out of this life, you won't regret the times that you did trust me. It's a love letter to a beloved child offering help, encouragement, guidance, and God is looking for hearts to trust Him and follow Him with full confidence like a child would in taking their father's hand and walking anywhere. Scripture says, unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. It also says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Put your hand out like a child to your Father, your Heavenly Father, and let Him lead you. You're promised to sing praises to His holy name with the wonders that you'll witness when you do follow His lead. Don't be afraid. His plans are for you. They're not against you. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn to me, and I would heal them spiritually. Verse 16 says, but blessed, spiritually aware, and favored by God are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. The children of God, the ones who follow His voice, will see His wonders and hear the love in His guiding words. They will receive healing from the brokenness of this world through their faith in their all-powerful Father. They will praise His name and speak of His glory. They will be blessed because their eyes are willing to witness and their ears are willing to receive and follow. They will be blessed because they have placed their trust in their loving Father and have allowed His work into their heart, opening their eyes and ears to His way. Verse 17, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, many prophets and righteous men who were honorable and in right standing with God longed to see what you see and do and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. These people that Jesus referred to are people who long to see the promise of the Messiah fulfilled. The people Jesus was speaking to were standing right before the promised Messiah, and many didn't even know it. Even today, we have the forgiveness of our Savior, and we're wrapped in His righteousness. We can approach the mercy seat of God and receive the prayers of our heart in accordance with the will of God. We have mercy and grace through the sacrifice of our Savior. We have it already. Some of us just need to allow it to penetrate the dense crust of our fearful hearts. Jesus says we are blessed because we have available to us what others were watching and waiting for. Matthew 13:11-12 says, Jesus replied to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word, to him more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. Promises of God, forever written in his word for mankind. A heart that opens to Christ and allows him in will see wonders beyond explanation. The heart that receives the word of God will receive an abundance of wisdom and guidance for life and eternity. You know, I've done several messages and shared several stories of amazing things that I've gotten a chance to witness. And I'm very grateful that the majority of the people in our church receive what I've seen as an act of God. I'm even more grateful that many of you, when I share these stories, come to me later and share your stories of where you've seen God's hand move. And together, we have our hearts set on God, and we know that he does interact in our lives today. That he's not a distant God who left us a rule book to follow in order to get to see him. He is active in our lives today. He moves in our lives. He hears our prayers. And he answers prayer. I've shared some of these stories, like the one that I've shared here numerous times about seeing the man's leg grow 3 inches as he was being prayed for. I've shared that story with other people who their hearts were not set on God yet, in hopes that they would understand that I saw a miracle of God. And so I surrender, even though I don't know every answer to the questions that this world has about God. My hope was that in seeing that there was a miracle that happened in my life that was so great that I would give my heart over to God and follow his leading, even though I didn't understand, didn't work on somebody who had not given their heart to God yet. In their hearts, it became a test. How can I explain away this person's leg growing 3 inches? Did this person have shoes on? Were they pulling off his shoe? Well, if they pulled his shoe off 3 inches, it would be completely off his foot. Did he have a fake leg and there was a joint in it that was stretching? Did I see what I thought I was seeing? Was I high on some chemical they pumped into the building? Any reason to explain away the miracle and not have it be of God. But I know what I saw. And though that was a great experience of seeing that happen, there's been many other times that I've witnessed God's hand move in my life and in other people's lives. And I have no desire to try to explain them away. My desire is to accept that God moves in our lives today. And he's willing to move in everybody's life if they'll turn their heart over to him. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. Taking the value out of God's word will leave you grasping for answers, for formulas to live by, and even grasping for the meaning of life itself. For the one who tramples on the word of God, for the one who sets aside the word of God, for the one who finds no space in their heart for the word of God, they will find that their world is out of control and freewheeling down the tracks. They will find that their mind can't make sense of God, and they will find that their childlike faith has faded into a sea of doubts and regrets. Even what they once had is gone, and it started fading when the heart started losing value in the written guidance of God. It's funny how children can accept the things that they don't see as reality. They can follow along with something because someone older than them told them it was true. But as we grow up, we have to be able to dissect it and decide if we're willing to follow it before we'll give our hearts over to it. Hardened hearts cannot be turned or be influenced from the outside. They have been hardened to prevent outside influence. They are controlled from within. You You need to open your heart to God and let Him in spite of your fears and hurts. If you hold the walls of your heart firm, you will find that you are holding it closed to God. Matthew 11:20-24. Then He began to denounce the people in the cities in which most of His miracles had been done, because they did not repent and change their hearts and lives. Their hearts were hardened to the things of God, and they took for granted the things that they witnessed. They saw no reason to repent and change their ways. They neglected to see just how close to God they had the opportunity of being. Part of the triune God, Jesus, says, "When you see Me, you see the Father." He was standing right before them, touching some of them, healing them, and they were completely missing how close they were to God in the moment. They were in His presence and didn't even recognize Him. What a tragedy to be in the presence of God as He moves in a special way and be completely oblivious to the whole experience. The amazing stories of things that I've seen that I've shared. How many times was I not in a right place and I saw the hand of God move in some miraculous way but didn't recognize it because my heart was not in the right place. Verse 21, "Woe, judgment is coming to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, cities of the Gentiles, not even cities that spent their time studying about God in the Scriptures, but cities of self-indulgence. If these miracles had been done in their presence, they would have repented long ago and their hearts would have been changed and they would have expressed sorrow for their sin and rebellion against God. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the pagan cities of Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." Why would this be? The day of judgment is going to be the same for everyone. You're either going to paradise with God, or you're going to be separated for eternity from God. And that separation is defined in Scripture as the lake of fire. How can the lake of fire be better for one person than for another? It's because when we stand before God and we recognize all the things that we've done, all the opportunities that we've had to surrender to Him, and all the times that we stood our ground and we said, "No, I'm not giving into this." When we stand there and realize that God is real, and I turned from Him every opportunity that He gave to me. I didn't turn to Him, but I turned from Him. If I'm in that experience on that day of judgment, I will receive my fate as my own actions deserve. But if I'm in a place where I think that I'm doing the right thing all the time, I think that I deserve heaven, I think that I've done all the laws and everything that I'm supposed to do, and I've earned my right into heaven, and I stand there and find out that I'm not getting in, how horrible will that day be for me? Jesus had performed miracles by the boatload in these cities. The people witnessed the merciful hand of God moving all around their cities, but their hearts were too hard to accept that this was the work of the Creator of the universe. This wasn't just an amazing man using mystic magic. This was Almighty God reaching down from heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit and the physical touch and words of Jesus and healing people right where they stood. Even with the miracles, even with the signs, they missed the glory of God. And you, Capernaum, are you to be exalted to heaven for your apathy and unresponsiveness? You will descend to Hades, the realm of the dead. For if the miracles done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Scripture tells us that God is not a fan of apathy or unresponsiveness. In fact, in multiple places it tells us our unwillingness to follow His leading and our desires to sit on the sidelines and just watch actually anger God. I shared just a few minutes ago about my quietness and how I'd rather sit on the sidelines and not put myself out there and not take the chance on being rejected and ridiculed for what I had to say. All those thoughts crossed my mind when I felt God calling me to become a pastor. When I started going to schooling and started realizing all the things that God does in the world and in people's lives and all the things that He's willing to do if we'll just place our faith in Him. And I started thinking about how many people would ridicule me for my faith. It became an issue for me in the beginning about would I stand up and tell people what I believe. And then I started reading in Scripture verses like this about sitting on the sidelines. What does God think? Am I displaying my faith in my Savior? Am I displaying my faith in an Almighty God who created the universe and created everything that we see and touch? Or am I hiding? What does God think of that? And so all my life, I never intended to stand up in front of people and talk. All my life, I decided that my learning disabilities meant that I was supposed to be the one sitting in the chairs listening to somebody else. But in that moment, I had to decide, am I going to place my faith in God and stand up and speak out no matter what's going on in my heart, no matter how much I'm shaking because I don't know how people are going to receive what I'm saying, no matter what goes on afterwards in my mind about, oh, I should have said this, I should have done that, I should have whatever. Am I willing to stand up in that moment and trust God to work through me in somebody's life? And I have to say that it's been almost 8 years now that I've been standing up and preaching about God. It was a few years before that I gave my heart to Christ. And so many of you have known Christ much longer than I have, but I'm willing to stand up. I'm willing to search the Scriptures. I'm willing to pray, and I'm willing to let Him speak into my heart what He wants for the moment because I've seen Him move. I know that He's real. I've stood up and I've preached messages that I wasn't sure if I was hearing God right. And I've had people come to me and share with me what God did for them in that moment. How God spoke to them through His written word and through my willingness to stand up over and over again. And so I've learned to trust that no matter what I'm thinking, no matter what I'm feeling, that God's capable of doing anything through a person who's willing to follow His leading. And so when I stand up here now, I don't shake. I still think sometimes when I see expressions on people's faces, are they receiving or are they closing down? But I still have complete confidence in God, but it took a long time for me to get to this place. Scripture tells us that God is not a fan of apathy and unresponsiveness. In fact, in multiple places, it tells us that our unwillingness to follow His leading and our desires to sit on the sidelines and just watch actually anger God. These choices show our lack of faith and highlight the fact that we're not recognizing His voice, His leading, His ability to carry out all that His plan requires. They show that we're not seeing His hand move and have closed our eyes to the things He is in fact doing. They show that we have closed our ears to His calling and are moving forward in normal day-to-day activities, as though the voice He promises will live in our heart is not calling out to us to turn and follow His leading. These choices of apathy are a billboard before God that display our lack of faith and trust in Him. And in this state of being, the apathetic heart is not surrendered to God, and it is not known by the Lord. Away from me, you evildoer, I never knew you. This is what Jesus has stated will be said to every mouth that professes Jesus as Lord, but is connected to a heart that has barricaded the Holy Spirit's entrance. Scripture is full of commands that identify areas of our hearts that we must surrender to God. And in today's message, I hope that you're receiving the importance of allowing God to soften your heart. Hardened hearts will not let God all the way in for fear of what He might ask you to release. It's in His Word. You know what He wants you to do, and that's why you're holding Him back. But the truth is, you're holding yourself back from receiving what He really has for you. Look, the two greatest commandments require love. Look around you, inside the church and outside the church. Is there anyone you know who has a hard heart? How do they treat people? Hard hearts cannot express real love because they need to allow a person into your heart in order to love them. You need to take down the barriers in order to allow a person in order to express love. hearts that are hardened slowly begin pushing even people that they once loved out of their heart. They don't always do it to be mean. They just start closing the door to keep her out, and without thought begin pushing everyone else out in a way as well. If a hardened heart closes out people and closes out God, because he's certain to ask you to forgive, to be restored to someone, to love others and more, then can a hardened heart honor God? Most recently, I've ended some of our sermons, some of our Sunday messages with a question more than a statement. I've shared scripture today. I've shared what God's word says, and I've referred to lots of other points in scripture that you can go to. Some of you may have picked up on different things that I said that are part of scripture. But I end with a question. Is your heart hardened in some place because of something that happened in your life? Is your heart hardened in some place because of a series of things that happened? Is your heart in a place where you can love on people? Or are you keeping people out and pushing people away to protect your heart? When you search your heart and find this, I ask you this. What is God's desire for you in this moment? What does God want of you? Does he want to knock you down and say you're doing this all wrong? Or does he want to come alongside you and help you to heal from some of those hurts? Relieve some of that pain. Help you to find trust in who he is and what his desires are for your life. Do you believe that God has mercy on people who've been hurt? Let's pray. Lord God, we ask you into our hearts. No matter what's gone on in our lives, no matter what barriers we may have started building or have been building for years, Lord God, we ask you into our hearts right now. We ask you to enter, even if our hearts are still hard. Search our hearts and show us where we're becoming calloused and hard. Show us where we're pushing people away. Show us where people that we love aren't feeling our love because we're becoming so hard. Soften our hearts and help us to love. God, in this, you know the fears that are in our heart that have caused these places to callous. You know the wounds that have entered our life at different points and rubbed against us so aggressively that it's produced these calluses, these hard places. And so, Lord God, today we ask as a body for you to enter our hearts and begin healing those wounds, begin healing those hard spots, begin softening those calluses, restore that tissue back to a pliable place, Lord God, where we can feel and where we can receive and where we can truly show love for the people around us. Lord God, in this healing, help us to find trust and confidence in you, that you will be walking with us through everything that we face and everything that we experience and every pain that may still come when we let these barriers down. Help us to find trust and confidence that you're with us and that your desire is to walk through this with us, leading us closer and closer to you. Help us to release grudges that we may have held for years, and help us to reach out, Lord God, in love, like your word tells us to. In everything we face today, Lord God, I ask for healing upon our hearts, healing upon our minds, healing upon our bodies, healing in our families, healing in our marriages, healing in our relationships, Lord God. Bring healing, like I watched you grow a person's leg right before my eyes, an unmistakable amount of growth. Lord God, I have confidence in your ability to move in our lives and heal whatever we're facing, whatever we're holding on to. Lord God, heal us and free us and encourage us. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this and thank you. Amen.